I'm just thrilled to be here, thrilled to be with your pastors, thrilled to be with you and in your new church building. Look what the Lord hath done. And so I'm excited for you, but this is just the beginning. And how many know God does things in a certain way? You know, when he grows an oak tree, he just doesn't go, oak tree there, oak tree there, oak, and all of a sudden a full-grown oak tree. He starts off with a little nut, and he goes into the ground, and doesn't seem like much is happening, but as long as that nut stays in the ground planted, it grows into something magnificent and beautiful. You know, that's how churches start, you know, and, you know, the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings, but how many know it's starting to grow, it's starting to grow. And it's also an encouragement to you because we all start off as a little nut, aren't we? We're all a little nutty. But if we can find a local church and stay planted and allow to grow under that pastoral office, we'll grow into the plan purpose of God. And so, again, just so honored your pastors have taken such good care of me and put me in a hotel, and I'm able to pray and seek God. We've had rich fellowship, and I'm just so excited for this series of meetings. Actually, it's one of the highlights of my year because they're rich things of the Lord. And we break bread together. We get in his presence. And again, just honored and thrilled. And always whenever I visit a church, I always like to bring fresh perspective and to remind people that this is of the Lord. This is not just our ordinary vision that we thought of. Say, hey, it'd be a cool idea to start churches. You know, all these things, we do it by the Holy Ghost. We spend time seeking the Lord. And I always like to tell off on the pastors whenever I get in their pulpit. You know, just to remind the people that your pastor is here by divine orders, by the head of the church, not my divine orders, by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, and I've told this over and over again, I'll probably tell it when Jesus comes. But the reason I do it is for the sake of the people and put before the divine order that, you know, Pastor Jeff was working for Pastor Tim, the Jamestown Church. He was on staff there. And, you know, Pastor Jeff had made mention to Pastor Tim about a call. And you know, Pastor Jeff is like me. He has so many shortcomings that no way could God use either one of us, you know. And it would make people question of our natural capabilities. And so, you know, Pastor Tim made mention of that to me. And, you know, he says, I don't know, you know, because I'm in the mentoring business. And, you know, he just wasn't sure about Pastor Jeff. And so, and I never thought anything about it. And then I got in the spirit. I operate more than just one office. What I mean by the spirit, the spiritual realm. You know, sometimes as the Lord wills, I can see into that realm. The Lord shows me things. And I was caught up in this vision, and I was in even though I was in Fredonia, here I was in the Jamestown Church building. And I saw a bunch of our pastors, some of our leaders, some people are mentoring, and they were huddled kind of all in a circle. And the word of the Lord came unto me, I mean the audible voice of the Holy Ghost in vision. Who's going to be the next pastor planted in a family church? And I said, I have no idea. I don't know. And, you know, I just looking at these group of people, it could be any one of them, you know. And he asked me again, who's going to be next pastor planted in one of the family churches? Thou knowest, I don't know. He did that three times, and I don't know. And all of a sudden, in the crowd, they all broke away, and there stood your pastors. And see, what that was is a divine commission to know that they're called of God and established in this time in the body of Christ to be a pastor, to start works for the Lord. And so I bring that up just because you need to know that your pastor is divinely called out to do what he's doing. So, you know, there are self-appointed pastors. There's people that make themselves pastors. And that's why the people you know, they suffer whenever you sit under someone that's self-appointed. But your pastors are divinely appointed, and so you need to know that you're in a good, safe place. But also, last year was my first year preaching in the Quarry Church, and we were in the hotel room, and we had services there, and Jesus showed up. And, you know, I like it when he shows up. He doesn't show up in every service, but when he does it for a purpose. He just doesn't do it to entertain folks and say, you know, I have nothing better to do in heaven. There's not much going on in Africa. I guess I'll just go visit Quarry, Pennsylvania and mess with them a little bit. But, you know, he had given me a message, and I gave the message, and then he walked over and stood, you know, probably approximately where the pastor is. He stood and gave me a message for the pastor. He said, you go tell Pastor Jeff this. And so then I just, and he was, Pastor Jeff, the Lord Jesus stood right here and he said this to you, to encourage him about this church, this work. And last year, we were in a hotel. This year, you're in your very own church building. So again, why do I say that to show off, to entertain? No, the purpose behind it. Jesus showed up and said, for this church. And so it's ordained of the Lord. And so never be weary in well-doing, especially for those of you that come, you know, every Saturday, you know, from various places to help out. That if you'll be faithful and labor with your pastors, you'll receive the same reward when you stand before Jesus. And so it's an encouragement to you, an encouraging time. And so praise the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, Pastor already prayed, and turn with me to two openings. Whenever I minister, I endeavored to seek the Lord. And this is something that he laid on my heart. And I believe it will help you. I like teaching things that helps us where we live. I'm not here to give some new revelation or to talk about something that we can't apply in our lives. Whenever I preach, I want to give people something they can do, something that will help them, something to overcome in this life. And I believe tonight that this message will help you. And if it does not help you, at least it's going to help me. I will just preach to myself and enjoy my message and say, man, if I just do this 100%, I'm going to turn out all right. But if you want to go ahead and listen and do it, I believe it's going to be a blessing to you too. Praise the Lord. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, we start with verse 8, and it reads this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's a very familiar text. I'm sure all of us have read it sometime. And simply reminding us that there is an adversary. His name is the devil. And he's desiring something. He's looking for something. What is he looking for? What is he seeking out? Well, he seeks out and he roams the earth looking to whom he may devour. Now, we understand that this is written to Christians, that here Peter is talking to Christians, that Satan is looking for an opportunity to devour. And sometimes when we talk about the devil, people get on the negative side and really magnify him and praise him and get people afraid of the devil. You have nothing to be afraid of concerning the devil. And really, the devil is more afraid of you than you should be of him. And the only reason why people are afraid of the devil is simply one of the scriptures Pastor read, you shall know the truth and truth shall make you free, you know, and that you just need to know the truth. I think one of the greatest examples that I use about the devil is the Wizard of Oz. Have you ever seen the Wizard of Oz? And you know the story, you know, the Tin Man and the coward of a lion and the scarecrow that had no heart. You know the story. Well, they're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. As you know, you have many gifted singers in your church. I'm not one of them. But, you know, they go to see the wizard. And they stand before the wizard in his emerald palace. And all of a sudden, there's a big picture and smoke and fire. I am the Wizard of Oz. And of course, they're just trembling in fear because on the screen he looks big, powerful. His voice is intimidating. And, you know, they're afraid. Of course, the lion that has no courage is very afraid. And this is going on, but we know the story. Toto, Dorothy's little dog, comes and there's a veil and pulls the veil aside and exposes the wizard. The wizard is not a big, powerful, intimidating sorcerer. He's a little helpless man that has a lot of parlor tricks. And that's exactly what the devil is. That he may try to huff and puff and blow your house down, and he might try to convince you that you're going to die. This is hopeless. This is useless. You're going to go broke. You're going to go bankrupt. Things aren't going to work out for you, and it'll be loud and intimidating because you can't see him. But if you can, through the Word of God, and sometimes as the Spirit of God wills, has that veil removed, you can see that's all he is. He's a whole lot of talk. Jesus has defeated him. He is under your feet, and you have nothing to be afraid. Like I made mention, one of my offices, as God wills, I'm allowed to see into the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is a real realm. You know, there's angels here tonight, and, you know, unless God opens your eyes, you can't see them, but they're real. They're there because that spiritual realm is very real. And from the time the Lord's allowed me to see in that realm and to see demons. And the amazing thing is when the veil is lifted and I see demons, they get so afraid, they run in terror because they don't want to be exposed. As long as people are afraid and intimidated and accommodate those evil spirits, they can have their way. But once the truth is found out that they're defeated, they're under the feet, and you know that you have authority over them, I mean, they run as in terror. And so you need to have a right perspective. And so Peter here, is just simply remind us there is an adversary. There is something that he wants to do. He's seeking about whom he may devour. And as Christians, he cannot devour us. He cannot take advantage of us unless we let him. You know, as long as Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion were intimidated and afraid of the devil, of the wizard, the wizard had him in his clutch, but once the truth was exposed. And so here Peter is just reminding us to be sober, you know, be alert, knowing that there is a devil. Another extreme, you know, we talked about too many people that magnified him and get people afraid, but another extreme is just not to talk about him at all. And he'd like that. He would like for you to believe there's no such as a devil, demons, demon activity. And that way he can work behind the veil and scheme. And you just think it's a coincidence. You just think that they're your thoughts that are happening in your head, your symptoms and stuff like that. And he could have his way. And so here, verse 9, I just want to draw your attention where it says, whom, meaning the devil, resists steadfast in the faith. And knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so here it tells us that we are to resist the devil when he shows up. And it also encourages us in that we're not alone. That everybody at some time or another has some confrontation with the enemy. And we are to resist him. And so with that being said, let's look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, just a few pages. In verse 7, James 4, 7, and the word says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so we see that same term that Peter used. Peter said, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Here James says, resist him, resist the devil. And what will happen when we resist him. He will flee from you. And that's so important to understand. And a lot of people, when it comes to contending with the devil when he shows up, you know, they go to their pastor, or they think they have to find a traveling minister to get help from the devil. Whenever the Bible talks about resisting the devil, it always tells you to do the resisting, and the devil will flee from you. Why will he flee from you? It's because you have authority over every devil and demon. And that Jesus stripped principalities of power. Simply, he defeated them. He didn't defeat them for himself. He defeated Satan and all of his demons for us. And we're seated in a higher position. We're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And we have authority over them, every single one of them, that we're seated with Christ far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. That simply, the whole army of Satan, that we have a position of authority higher than their position of authority. And so you need to know this. If hell had a lottery, we know what a lottery is. Recently, there was a lottery that gave out $1 billion, you know, or less than that after taxes, of course. And, you know, everyone went crazy over that. But if hell had a lottery, that every day they picked out of the 7 billion people on the earth, and they picked out a name, and they just for that one day, they stopped what they're doing and they gang up on one person. And let's just say your name was called. You know, most people would be afraid, says, oh my God, you know, pray for me, you know, whatever. But when you know the truth will make you free. And if your name was picked, you could slay every single one of them. You would have nothing to fear. You would laugh. Because they're seeking to devour, but they can't devour you unless you let them. And so we're just going to remind you about this and give you some things to help you, because the Bible says we're all subject to this. He said these afflictions when contending with Satan, he's trying to seek to devour everyone. And when he does show up, you just need to know to resist him. That means you can resist him. Now, what does it mean to resist? Well, you've heard about the term resisting arrest. What is resisting arrest? Well, someone did something, and the cops tried to talk with them. They won't listen to the cops. The cops tried to peacefully bring them into the car, and they resist that, so that they have to get really rough and tough with the person that is resisting arrest. And so to resist means not to comply with, to actually oppose. In the Greek, it means to stand against, to withstand, to oppose. And it's a very strong word, which simply means that to do the opposite of. You know, the Bible says God resists the proud, right? And that word resist is very interesting, the same resist here, that when it comes to God, if there's two sides, God will go on the other side in order to play against anyone that's prideful. That's what resist means. And so when we resist the devil, that means whatever his thoughts, whatever his suggestions are, we take the truth on the other side and we play against that. That's what resisting means. And so we are resist the devil, and if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. And the Bible has a beautiful pattern. How many know when God gave us the creation account with Adam and Eve, it was just not for a history lesson. That's right. There are spiritual truths. Everything was written for a purpose. And we know the story that God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And God gave them this beautiful garden and all the trees. There's provision. There was beauty. Everything they can wish for and more was in the garden. And God says, this is my will. This is my plan. This is my provision for you. Then came around a little snake. And we know that snake was possessed of Satan. And what Satan wanted to do is to mess up their garden. And so Satan came. and started suggesting some things to Adam and Eve, starting to try to see, trying to get in and mess the garden. And instead of resisting the devil, I mean, play on the other side, to play against, to be opposed to, they listened to the devil. They did the devil's suggestion and lost the garden. Now, brothers and sisters, all of us have a garden. Your garden is your marriage, your family, your workplace, your finances, everything that pertains to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And if you're newly born again, just stick with your pastor and listen to him, because God is such an awesome God. He said this in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. That's life with Jesus. Life with Jesus is not hard. It's not suffering. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. He's able to amaze you. And even the Bible says through the eternity and beyond, He's going to show how exceedingly good He is towards us. Imagine that through all eternity, every day He's going to show us how good He is to us. That's how great it is to serve a Christian. And so your garden is a beautiful thing. And maybe you're just starting Christian faith. Well, my garden's not big. You just keep serving God. You be faithful. You love on God. You serve God. And your garden will grow and more great things will be in your garden. Yes. But we all have a garden. And God provide that garden. But like Adam, you have to keep your garden. You have to protect your garden. Because that's what Peter is talking about. That's what James is talking about. Peter said this, that he seeks about looking for someone to devour. He's looking to try to steal, rob from your garden. We know this. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But what do you say of Satan? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's just being mindful that with all the promises of God and believing God, praying and soul winning, all the things that we're to do as Christians, we have to also be skillful at resisting the devil. Because we know the story of Adam and Eve. Man, they had paradise. And they lost it because they did not resist the devil. And a lot of times, we as Christians were robbed. We're robbed of a good marriage. We're robbed of a good home life. We're robbed of good finances and good health simply because we did not resist the devil. And so I want to talk to you about how to do it successfully. Again, we don't magnify that. It's just a fact of life. Yeah. And I was talking to the pastor at lunch today. I've been in the ministry over 30 years. And, you know, I train ministers. I mentor young men and women, you know, into leaders and so forth. And I told your pastor this, that sometime I want to teach a lesson or preach a message of the casualties of war. Throughout the years, I've had so many people so full of potential that God had great plans for them and God was going to do great things. And they had great capabilities like all of us, but then the devil came in like in the Garden of Adam and Eve, began to suggest things to them. And plant thoughts or to send wrong people into their lives. And they begin to listen, and all of a sudden they become a casualty. That they're no longer following the perfect plan of God. Satan was able to steal, kill, and destroy their beautiful garden, their beautiful life. So I don't want that for anybody. And again, we don't magnify the devil, but here Peter said to be sober about this. Be vigilant. And if you've been a Christian any time, you're conscious of two supernatural beings. Hopefully, number one is God. Yes. You talk to God, you love God, you kumbaya with God. Isn't it wonderful? But also, if you're semi-spiritual and you're aware of things, every day the devil is trying to get into your garden. Yes. Now, if you don't know that, after today, maybe you'll be aware of it. Because have you found out that the devil doesn't come, knock on your door, and he has you know, horns, and he's red, of course, you know, and he has a pitchfork and, you know, a pointed beard and mustache, and he says, "Hi, I'm the devil. I've come to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I come in?" You know, he doesn't do that. He uses subtlety. He uses, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, he tries to project something he's not, and very, very sneaky. And so I want to teach you how to resist them correctly. And this concerns any test you may be going through. Have you ever been through a test, a trial? And you didn't know this. God didn't send it your way. The reason there's tests and trials because Satan goes about seeking whom he may devour. And so I want to help you. It could be a mental test. It could be physical with sickness. It could be a financial test. Whatever it is, how to successfully resist him. Now, the good news is we don't need to figure out how to do it ourselves. Thank God. I'm so grateful the Word tells us what to do and how to do it. Like walk in love. You know, the Bible says love one another, right? And if you're to ask people on the street, what does it mean to love? You get 100 different answers. You go on Hollywood and they would tell you what love is. You know, a sicko, you know, that type of thing. But Jesus didn't just say love one another. He said love one another as I have loved you. So not only does he command us to love, but he tells us how to love. And thank God, not only does the Bible tell us to resist the devil, it shows us how. Application. And we have a beautiful example. And so if you got your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we're just going to defeat the devil. Make him sad, mad, that every time he tries to raise his ugly head, because we become skillful on resisting him. Because the Bible says this, if you will resist him, he will flee from you. He will. That word flee means as a fugitive on the run. Fearful of being caught. That's why he just wants to put up a scheme, a smoke screen to try to trick you. How many remember Bucky Phillips? And if you don't know, you know, he was one of the FBI most wanted, and he was right in our backyard. I mean, in our backyard, you know. So Bucky Phillips was a fugitive, right? Now, Bucky Phillips just didn't walk down Main Street and say, "I'm Bucky Phillips. I made the news. You better be afraid of me. I'm a fugitive. I'm on number one FBI list." No, he was in hiding. Secret, behind the scenes. Why? He was fearful of being caught. And that's the same word. The devil is fearful of you. He is fearful for you to know the truth. He is fearful of you to resist him. Because if you resist him and expose him, he has nothing on you and he will flee from you, and that word means to run from, as in terror. And like sometimes I see him in the spirit, that I don't even get to use the name of Jesus to command them to leave. When they see that I know that it's a demon behind there, all of a sudden their eyes get big and they just start running in terror. And they do that from you whenever you know, hey, wait a minute. This is just not a cough that I got accepted. No, sickness is of the devil. Hey, you know, my finances are drying up. The devil is stealing my finances. The strife in our marriage. This is not normal. This is you, Satan. I resist you. And when you expose him, he will flee from you. So we don't wrestle with flesh and blood against principality of power. So we need to know there's a spiritual realm. We don't need to magnify these things, but we do need to wear that there. Because Adam didn't, and we don't want to have the same story Adam did. All right? So in Matthew chapter 4, we have a beautiful example of, and by the way, that was my introduction. All right. If you've never heard me before, what I lack in depth, I go in length. But I am mindful because I do want to be invited back. But look at this, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he, Jesus, answered, said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil take them into a holy city and set them on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash a foot against a stone. So stop right there. Very interesting. The devil can quote scripture. And he will use scripture to try to get you to do the wrong thing. And so you just need to be skillful to realize just because you have a scripture doesn't mean God is suggesting that. And a good way to know if God wants you to do it, the Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses. You got to have two or three scriptures. And if you're still not sure, you always, if your pastor has a check about something, that's a good indicator. Hey, you know what? I need to take a little bit more time with that. You know, maybe I'm listening to the wrong voice. Okay? And let's go on. But Jesus said, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil take them to exceedingly high mountain and show them all the kings of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I just wish I had enough time to teach on these things. Notice Satan is willing to pay whatever to get you to fall. Notice he said this, I'll give you everything I have if thou wilt fall. Satan will pay your price. It's unfortunate people have such a small price tag on them. Sometimes it's money. You know, yeah, if you work Sundays, you'll get double time and you don't go in church, you no longer work in church. People get sold out for money. Sometimes it's pornography or something. Sometimes it's a guy, it's a girl. Everybody has a price and Satan's willing to pay the price. But we as Christians ought not to be bought. You want to hear a funny story? I was working somewhere, and I was called to ministry, and they knew I was called to ministry, but whenever you're a Christian, you work somewhere, you ought to be the most valuable employee they have. You ought to be a witness by the way you work, and so the owner of the company, you know, saw that, you know, if I work for him, like Joseph, I make money for him, and I would never cheat, deceive. I had the best interests of my company. And he saw that, but he also knew I was called to the ministry. And so while I was working, he told me to get into his car. It wasn't a limousine, but it was a big luxury car, you know, denoting someone's got money. And he told me to get in. And when I got in, he locked the doors with the power locks. And we drove out into the country, sort of like coming out here, the dropping off place. So, and he began to say, you know, I want to retire one day, and I just can't trust anybody. But, Michael, I can trust you. And, you know, I will buy you a house. I will give you a good salary. I will take care of you. Wow. But you can't go into ministry. You got to work for me. Wow. And see, some people would wrestle. Oh, what am I going to do? I smile. And I says, I'm sorry. I love Jesus. I'm going to serve him. And he got mad, peeled out, and wouldn't talk to me all the way back and said, get out. And he did that more than once. What? See, it wasn't a temptation to me because I couldn't be bought. But you ought to be the same way. You ought to be the same way. Whatever it is, you can't be bought. But anyway, that's for you. That's not part of my message, so take that time out. All right. But Satan will pay your price. But you ought to have such a price tag. Whenever he comes, you can't buy me. Jesus bought me, and you can't buy me. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and nothing you have can top what I get from him. Because everything he suggests, even though it may look flattering, may be big, it will rob, steal, and kill. He is out to steal your garden. All right. Then said Jesus, Get behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Now, why did I read all this? Jesus had a confrontation with the devil. And notice this, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And so Jesus knew how to, when Satan came, how to resist him, and the devil fled from him. Jesus is our perfect example. And that's our goal. Every time Satan comes to us, we resist him, and he takes his sorry tail and his sorry stuff, and he leaves, and he has nothing on us. And angels and the good things of God minister to us. But too many times Christians, the devil don't leave with them. The devil ministers to them, keeps on putting that filth, those suggestions. And so we need to understand how to resist and keep him out of our garden. Because in his garden is only peace. If you're not living in peace, he's in your garden. In his garden, there's only health. If you're not enjoying health, that means he's in your garden. You got to get him out of your garden. And so this is how you get him out of your garden. All right? I'm going to give you, there's many things here, but Jesus is a perfect example. And we know it works because Jesus did it. And so I'm going to give you some things how to successfully resist the devil. Number one, would you like to know number one?
Yes.
Number one, you got to recognize the source. Now, Pastor, what do you mean recognize the source? You cannot resist what you don't recognize. All right. I guarantee you, and if we're all honest, every one of us here have yielded to devil, listen, devil, and we thought it was our own thoughts. There are literally millions of Christians living in defeat, living in despair, living in depression, living in poverty, living far beneath what God provided for them simply because the devil sold them a lie. Have you ever had the devil tell you you're no good? I'm a firm believer. All of us from our earliest childhood have had voices speak to us and we just thought they were our own thoughts. And see, we just didn't know it was the devil. Being fearful of things, being insecure of things, afraid of this, afraid of that. Well, I'm afraid of doctors. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of elevators. Remember when God approached Adam and Adam hid himself, from God? And he says, Adam, why are you hiding? He says, we hid from your presence because we were naked. And you know what God said? Who told you that? See, he knew Satan, and he says, who told you that? And a lot of us are ashamed and are afraid and are naked in some areas because we believed a lie of Satan. Told us that you're no good. You can never be successful in that business. You cannot be a good worker. You're always that way. There's something wrong with you. Have you been told those things? And yet we just believe them, and since they've been part of our thinking throughout all life, we just accept that. That's just us. He's in your garden. Doesn't mean you have to cast something out of you. You just need to recognize, hey, that's the devil feeding me this lies. If you don't have peace, you don't have joy, you have victory, there's something that shouldn't be in your garden. But notice the wording of the devil, if thou. Man, there's these things are so rich. If. What is if? Doubt. Doubting yourself. Doubting that God heard you. Doubting that you can be healed. It also denotes fear. And those are the two things Satan will come. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That tells us right away, fear is a spirit, not God's spirit. Have you ever gotten news about something and what fear comes? And some people just accept that fear. Just accept, and they begin to worry, begin to fret. They get a pit in the stomach. And they just say, well, I'm just a worrier. And they pray and worry. And they're in fear and torment. Satan is in your garden. And so you have to recognize, you don't need to put up with that stuff. You don't need to put up with fear. You don't need to put up with worry. You don't need to put up with doubt. And doubt comes. Have you ever doubted things? You're believing God and it doesn't look like it. And suggestions of doubt. And some people say, well, I'm doubting. I guess I don't believe God. You ate the suggestion of Satan. You need to recognize that Satan. I don't doubt. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I don't doubt. And so I say this, I doubt you doubt. I speak to doubt because I recognize doubt. I tell fear, you fear me. But you people think they got to accept fear. They have to accept doubt. They don't recognize that is the subtlety, the trickery of Satan to get into their lives and rob and steal from them. If, then the word thou, that's an interesting one. If he can't get you in fear and doubt, he'll certainly begin to down-talk you. Wow. You're no good. You're unworthy. You certainly can't do anything. You'll never have a good marriage. You'll never have a good job. You'll never make money. He will get you to get down on yourself. How many Christians are in guilt, condemnation, and just a victim mentality? And they think that there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a child of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have more than enough. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you believe those thoughts and doubt yourself, you're no good. And people just think, well, that's just the way I think. That is the devil trying to steal from your garden. That's why, number one, you got to recognize. Notice it said when the tempter came. Now, it didn't say Satan appeared to him. You know, we just assume. How does Satan come to us? Thoughts? Suggestions? When the flu comes. All right? If you don't know the truth, you get that scratchy feeling in your throat. That achy feeling. You say, oh my God, I got the flu. I just knew the co-worker gave it to me. And you better get up on the vitamin C. I'm going to call in the work. You just bought a lie. You didn't oppose the devil. You agreed with him. Well, I feel suggestions. And what you need to do is, no, I don't play patty cakes with you. I recognize sicknesses of the devil. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That means sickness is oppression of the devil. And you recognize the source. Yes. See, the first step is recognize. If you don't recognize thoughts, suggestions, feelings, and emotions of sometimes as a stimulus of Satan, you'll accept them as your own. And you'll steal your garden away. So you got to recognize the source. And again, I want to say I'm fixing clothes, but I just got started. And that's just point number one. Will you allow me at least to do all 5 points? Yeah. All right. Number two, you need to know your weaknesses. What do you mean? Jesus was very hungry, and the tempter came. It says, bread. Why was that a temptation? Jesus was hungry, and temptation was to use the bread. Now, it's very interesting, Jesus had been fasting. And if you've done any fasting, after a day or two, you lose all hunger. You know, you eventually, when you go on fast, you lose hunger. Then when hunger comes back, that means your body is starving. Now, I know you missed a meal and you thought you were starving, ready to die. But really, you can go a couple days and you'll lose hunger. I know by experience. And so here he's starving. And see, Satan waited. There's a weakness. I can try to get, because how many know there was no weakness in Jesus, but he was in a physical body. So Satan looks for weaknesses. And brothers and sisters, you got them. You got them. You got them. I got them. And we need to know what our weaknesses is. It might be food. You know, some folks, if they're hungry, you be aware of them, right? They get snappy. It's very interesting, this area of food, that Esau sold his birthright, something spiritual, for one morsel of food. How often we sell something of eternal importance over something carnal. Yeah. You know, people don't go to church because of money, or it's a nice day, they go fishing, or, you know, it could be lust, you know, that to have a time of intimacy and to sacrifice being pure and consecrated before the Lord over some slight physical pleasure. And so we all have weaknesses. Aren't you so glad I came here to tell you these wonderful things? And you need to know them. If you were an alcoholic, you know, and that's a temptation for you, you need to recognize that's a weakness. You know, the devil could not come, knock on my door, so to speak, and say, here, shoot yourself up with heroin. Why? I never did heroin. That's not temptation. But someone that was addicted to heroin, there is a pull of the flesh, and that spirit will pull on the flesh. Where you've seen people that have been addicted to drugs. It's just, it's a demon-inspired thing. Yes. It's not someone just shake it off. It's real. I've been addicted to things in my lost life. So you do need to know your weakness. If it's lust, you got to be careful what you watch, whatever. How about this, being tired? You know, Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. What? Notorious. You're too busy, don't read your Bible. Yeah, busy, busy, busy. And, you know, the devil lets you go a few days without reading your Bible and make you think it's okay. And usually about third, fourth day, you say, man, my God, I'm, you know, they're weak right now. And step in with a real strong suggestion, and all of a sudden there's strife in the marriage. There's turmoil or something. Yeah. Your weakness. You need to know your weakness. That's why I know being tired, all these things, the weakness, you just watch your weaknesses. And you don't give to it. That's why Christians should not go very long without the Word of God. Without praying in tongues, without being in church. You've been out of church for a few weeks. The devil will just be watching. And he'll make it okay the first week, 2 weeks. And say, man, it looked like I was blessed not going to church. But he's just waiting, seeking. And just at the right moment, there it is. Grabs you. And you fall into something. You do something. And he's gotten into your garden. So, you need to know the source. You need to know your weaknesses. Now we get into more of the application. 3, you need to speak out loud what the Bible says about Satan's suggestion. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. And he just didn't quote it generally. He didn't use the same scriptures for every case. He used the scripture to counteract what Satan suggested. Let's say you're being attacked with symptoms of flu. Saying, my God supplies all my needs according to riches and glory ain't going to work. Right. Or, I'm the head, not tail, above and not beneath. Or, thou will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You might have peace, but you're going to be sick. You're going to say, no, himself took mine for me to bear my sickness. Sickness is of the devil. You need to quote the word based on the suggestion that Satan gives you. That's what Jesus did. He was very specific. Notice what Jesus didn't do. He didn't say, y'all, the devil's giving me a hard time. You all pray for me. You know what that is? That's dinner bell to demons when you yak like that. Y'all pray for me, devils give me our... That is just sending out an SOS to every demon. Weak, ignorant Christian that we can pray on. Prayer is not a substitute for resisting the devil. You cannot. You can pray. There's people that pray in fear and they're worst off after 2 hours of prayer. You can't pray in fear. You got to pray in faith. And prayer is not a substitute for resisting the devil. Jesus didn't say, no, devil, you just give me a moment. Oh, Father, oh, God, the devil's really on me. Help me in this hour of my temptation, oh, whatever. No, he didn't pray. He resisted. He didn't say, pray about the devil. You resist the devil. Now, I'm going to give you some real quick points under speaking the word out loud. Speaking 101. Number one, you must know the Bible. How can you quote the Bible to the devil if you don't know the Bible? How do you know the Bible? Like anything else. You read it, you study it, you write it down, you highlight it. And even if you don't know the Bible, get a Bible promise book. Or you're going through something, you ask your pastor, what are some scriptures? I don't know the Bible that good, some scriptures. And you get them as ammunition, like stones in David's sling to slay the giant. You know, prayer is like the sling, but unless there's a rock in it, that sling ain't going to do any good. All right? You need scriptures. So David took five, right? But only took one to slay the giant. Get you five scriptures. Be Rambo. You know, Rambo just don't carry a little pistol. I mean, he's got a sword. He's got knives. You know, he's got ammunition. Any one of his arsenal can kill him. But, you know, he's got more than enough. Be more than enough. Have more than enough scripture. Know the word. And know, you must know the word. You must be specific against the assault of Satan. Whether it's a thought of condemnation, guilt. There is no condemnation in them that are Christ Jesus. Feeling unworthy. No, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Whatever that thought is. Whatever that symptom. Whether it's finances or suggestions in your body. Number three, it must be bold. You must be bold. Smith Wigglesworth, if you've heard any stories of him, an amazing English minister. 23 people were raised from the dead under his ministry. I don't know about you, but that's 23 more than I've raised from the dead under my ministry. And he was on a trolley car one time, or a bus, and he was sitting there, and the bus would stop, and he happened to notice a quite an elegant woman, finely dressed, and you know, just making her way to the bus stop or the trolley stop. And he was walking around, and the little doggy was found, much like Cassie. And walking, and she's going to get in the bus. Dog can't go on the bus. And so she turned around and said, now, dear, you need to go home. Shoo, shoo. And the doggy just wagged the tail, you know, and kept following her. And she looks back again, says, honey, I told you to go home. Now go home. Mommy's got to go downtown. Go, you know, and, you know, wagging the tail. And finally, she gets near the bus or the trolley, and she turns around and says, I said go home! Go home now! And Smith Wigglesworth, out loud on the trolley, goes, ha, 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 that's what you need to do with the devil. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when he gives you a thought, no, you speak to him out loud. You get in his face. You ever see boxers or even football teams? You know, I used to love boxing. I was into martial arts and stuff like that. You know what trash talk is? You tone. They start talking to you, and you just get right up in their face, and you need to tell them what you're going to do to them. You need to trash talk the devil. But how? With the word. Yes. With the word of God. When you know the truth makes you free. The devil will try to think you're going under, whatever. And, you know, he'll harp. And we all have weaknesses. He'll harp. And there's seasons of temptation. One gospel says the devil's part from a season. Have you ever noticed some seasons the thoughts come, then they're gone, then they come? You know, there's seasons of temptation. And when the season comes, you know, I finally, you get tired of it. And I said, hey, devil, you come here. I'm going to have a talk with you. And you keep telling me this. You're telling me how I'm not going to do this. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the Bible says about me. I live. I check out. I get a mansion in glory. I get everything that you tried to steal. And you were cast down. You were stripped. And throughout all eternity, I'm accepting the Beloved. I enjoy the presence of God. God's going to amaze me of His goodness towards me. And your story's in my same book. That a big old angel is going to grab your master and all your demons, and he's going to throw you down in the bottomless pit forever and ever. And see, about that time, he's gone. And I said, no, you get back here. I'm not finished with my story. And you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then I start singing a little song, blessed forever and ever, tormented forever. And they're just screaming, let us alone, let us alone. What do you become? See, when you know the truth, the devil has nothing on you. And see, you can be bold and you just be persistent. You get in his face. You resist him. One translation says, stand up to him. Yeah. You stand up to him and say, it is written. And get in his face and he will flee from you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, fourth thing, I'm fixing the clothes. Part two. How many parts? 17. Okay. Jesus spoke the word, but also he addressed Satan and said, get behind me, Satan. Command whatever's suggesting to you to leave. Recognize as a spirit, like fear. You say, it is written, I have not a spirit of fear. Fear your spirit. Get behind me, spirit. I forbid you, spirit of fear. You go in Jesus' name. Doubt, you spirit of doubt, you go. Flu, you sickness, I command you to leave my body in Jesus' name. Oppression, I command you in Jesus' name, after speaking the word, I command you to go. Notice Jesus told Satan to go. And you need to tell Satan to go. And be bold. And tell him, in Jesus' name, I have authority over you. You go and use the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils, or in my name, you'll exercise authority over Satan. So use the name of Jesus. Speak to it. And lastly, fifth thing, after you've done that, rejoice, praise God, and laugh. Rejoice, praise God, and laugh. You can do them any order you want. Just make sure you do them. Yeah. Someone once said, Satan is so full of pride, he can't stand being laughed at. See, the Bible says in Psalms 2, the heathen plan and rage against the Lord and his Christ in Psalm chapter 2. And says, he that sits in heaven laughs. Here the devil's playing and God laughs at it. And we're to be imitators of God. See, laughter shows that you got the victory and he has nothing on you. When you cry and you're intimidated and you're fearful, that means he's going to eat your lunch. I'm going to have to confess something before you. I'm going to confess my sins before you. Before I was a Christian, yes, I was a bully and I picked on people. I am ashamed of it. But you learn spiritual laws. I was full of the devil. And when I picked on someone, you know, say I was picking on Mark. And if it bothered Mark and he got teary or he, leave me alone. Stop it. Stop it. That was sick him to a dog. I mean, my buddies would gang up. This is fun. because he felt the pressure and gave into the pressure. Yeah. But once in a while, there's these people, these kids, nothing bothered them. You go like this, you knocked over their books, you flicked them behind the ear, and they just didn't pay much attention to you in just one way. And it was no fun because I couldn't get a negative response. Yeah. They just weren't. You know, nothing I did seemed to respond to them in a negative way. It was no fun. I went to someone else.
That's right.
That's what demons do. And so that's why we say you got to rejoice, laugh, and praise God. Notice Philippians 1:28. It says, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. What's that mean? When the devil shows his ugly head, don't give him the privilege of seeing you sweat. Don't ever be intimidated, afraid, doubtful, fearful. Oh my God, dismayed. What am I going to do? That's sick him, Dim. He says, I got this. But when he comes and he throws his best shot, you just say, oh, Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for all the promises of God. Amen. I'm the head, not tail, and above, not beneath. My God supplies all my needs according to riches and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, I want you to listen to this. The Bible says he prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemies, not the absence. People are wanting the devil to leave before they praise God. You praise God, then the devil will leave. And you rejoice, and you start singing, and you can make up songs. I am forever in heaven, and you're forever tormented, ha, 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 ha. And just sing real bad and make them listen to it. But also, brothers and sisters, laughter and rejoicing. Have you ever been in a test, and you did the word, and you just felt the oppression of the thoughts and the cloud? Yeah, and you've done everything, and there's just a heaviness and weightiness. We all have. Would you like to know how to get that off of you? Yeah. The Bible says he will give you the spirit of joy for the spirit of heaviness, a spirit of laughter, a spirit of lightness whenever things are heavy on you. And what you need to do is laugh. Now, this is, and sometimes you don't feel like laughing. I can give you stories. I did not feel like laughing. I felt like crying. And it started off like this. Ha, ha, ha. So, ha, you know, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And I'll just keep at it. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hee, 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 ho, ha, ha, ha. And I'd keep at it until the Spirit of God will kick in. Have you ever been in services, and you know, my service, where people are laughing in the Holy Ghost? Yes. That is not for entertainment purposes. That is learned for you to yield whenever the devil comes against you. You know how to tap into your spirit and break that thing off of you. And then you just keep going, ha, you start off in flesh, ha, 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 he, 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 ha, 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 he, ha, 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 he, he, ha, ha, ho, ho, ha, 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 ha. Hey, devil, come listen to this. Come. You're so interested in my life just a few minutes ago. Listen to this. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. And then the Spirit of God will help you. And all of a sudden you get that deep belly laugh. And before you know it, you start feeling good. A merry heart doeth good like a what? Well, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible says rejoice once a month, or only in special services rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's not too many things in the Bible tells you always. The Bible says pray always, be in fellowship with God always, but also rejoice. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you weak? Rejoice. Ha, 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 ha. And joy will show up. Show up in your body, show up in your mind. And joy is the cherry on top. It seals your victory. When you're into joy and rejoicing, the devil has nothing on you. And not only that, it lifts you into a place. And I've done this. Have you ever been concerned and worried and worked up about something? And man, and then you laugh and laugh and that thing's broken off you. And you go look down at it. Why was I so troubled by that? Can I give you one more illustration? Then I'll close. Have you ever been to New York City? You ever look at the Empire State Building? I mean, you get dizzy looking at it. Oh, wow, so big. Wow, so intimidating. And me so small compared to that building. Then you get to JFK or Newport, whatever your airport of choice. Any of those airports aren't my airport of choice unless I have to. Notorious to being delayed. And you get up 10,000, 20,000 feet. And you know how they circle? And you look down that same building and you're looking, which one is it? Yeah. Is it that one or that one? I think it's that one. Did the building change? No, your perspective did. And see, laughter lifts you up to a higher place. And where the devil was the Wizard of Oz, and when laughed, it exposes the veil. And you're not even troubled for anything. So brothers and sisters, my assignment is to help you to win. Amen. We all face the devil. You don't need to be afraid of it. He all tries to get in your garden. You do these things. You recognize the source. You know your weakness. You keep a guard on. You speak the word to him boldly. And you command him to go. And you laugh and rejoice. Well, how long do you do that? Until he leaves. And then after he leaves, you just do it because it's so fun. You, woo! Why don't I do this all the time? Man! And I tell them, thank you, Mr. Devil. Now I am in such a higher place spiritually. You came, thought, take me down, and now I'm up here. And woo! So it's a good place. And man, every time you do that, I'm just going to go up and up. But I'm not going to try it right here. You know. But brothers and sisters, thanks be to God that always causes us to triumph.